Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. I am here this morning with two wonderful people from 4-H here in the Putnam County Extension Office. I have Melissa Henry and Trent Jones. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Haven't had to have y'all on before. Hadn't had the chance. I've had Michelle Parrott on a couple times, who is the Extension Director in Putnam County, who does a wonderful job. And Melissa, you've worked with her for how many years?
And more than eight at this point.
Yeah.
So quite a while.
Yeah. So it's, you've known her. She does a great job. Love her passion for everything the Extension Office does. But I really admire the passion she has for what you do in 4-H and what you both do. And of course, Melissa, how long have you been with the Extension Office?
I have been 20 years here in Putnam County, but 23 overall.
23 overall. And Trent, you just joined us a couple years ago in Putnam.
I just joined. This will be my fifth year in Putnam and 14 years overall. So working on my 15th.
So I've got two highly experienced folks here with 4-H that serve multiple communities, and we'll get to that and kind of where y'all started and where y'all been. But I know Michelle loves y'all to death. She has bragged on y'all, and she was fortunate to have you this long, but we're fortunate to pick you up and happy that you come to the Putnam County. And so the passion for 4-H is here. The passion is in the community, and it's the only reason the passion is still there is because of people like you that's out there in front of people, in front of these kids, educating them about 4-H. So let's, before we get into too much detail about you, let's remind everybody, what is 4-H?
4-H is a youth organization, and we work with 4th grade through 12th grade students, and it's an outreach program of the University of Tennessee. And so it's kind of taking some of that research knowledge, the activities that go on at the college level, and bringing it down to a youth level. And so activities range anywhere from animal science, plant science, STEM, communications. We cover a lot of different topics with our target audience.
So 4th grade is the first grade, really, that they can participate in the program. And so you've done this for 23 years, 20 in Putnam County. What was your 3 years before that?
I was in West Tennessee in Decatur County, small county with about 9,000 people. Great place to start, but this got me closer to home.
So are you from originally in Putnam County?
Or? I am not. I'm just down the road from Bledsoe County. So the Sequatchie Valley, we halfway claim Fall Creek Falls State Park, but that's where I got started in 4-H as a kid myself.
I had another Bledsoe County in Caroline Knott that was on a few weeks ago, and she's with the DA's office.
Yes, so I went to high school with Caroline.
Okay, there you go. So two Bledsoe County graduates in a matter of weeks. That's great. And, of course, Trent, you have been, you said 14 years, but you started out in?
I started out in Marshall County, was there for almost 4 years, then moved closer to home in Smith County, and was there for about six. And then got the chance to come back home here to Putnam County, where I'm from.
And you grew up in Silver Point.
I grew up in Silver Point, down in Silver Point, Boma area there.
Yep, and that's, of course, not far from me, but you're younger than I am, so we never really crossed paths. We talked about that when you first got hired. I'm like, I don't know. How do I not know who Trent is? I mean, I've heard the name, but how do I not know him? How have not come in contact? And, of course, Michelle was like, we got to have him. You know, I was on the committee then, so we're blessed to have both of you. I've got a lot of experience sitting in front of me in 4-H, so I've got to ask you. Growing up, you in Bledsoe County, you in Silver Point, and did you go to Upperman High School?
I did. I graduated. I was the first graduating class in a new high school in 2003.
So you're 5 years younger than me. So when both of you, I'll start with you, Melissa. When you're going through school and back home in Bledsoe County, were you always part of 4-H?
Yes, because we were lucky to have agents come into our schools there. And so when I started in fourth grade, I'm, you know, a little unsure of what to do. But both my parents had been involved, my mom more so than my dad. He grew up playing football and FFA a little bit more growing up on a farm. But mom really encouraged me, and just and the 4-H agents who came to my classroom, you know, just kind of got you involved and just kind of blossomed from there.
Yeah.
So it's something I stuck with and just really made a lot of friends, especially when you got to the high school level, people you end up going to college with and end up working with a few of them along the way as well.
Yeah. So Trent, what about you? Did you start when you could in 4-H?
Pretty much the same. I always like to say I was born in the 4-H, I guess you say, because my mom was a volunteer leader in White County and Putnam County, and still volunteers and helps us some. But she was a state winner. My grandma was a state winner. My brother was a state winner. So I always knew I wanted to be involved in 4-H, especially in horse judging. And then also, she don't like me to mention, but Melissa was my 4-H agent in high school.
That's
as well.
Right.
So
That's
I was
right.
very thankful to get to work with Melissa as my 4-H agent. And then when I was in college at Tech, I actually interned with her and Wayne when he was in 4-H here.
But you were only 18, right?
I was just a child, you know, when Trent got here. So, but it is kind of, it is nice to have a coworker who understands the program and, you know, knowing, you know, seeing him kind of develop from that, you know, teenage student on up to a professional has been part of the wonderful thing about this job is, you know, seeing other people, other 4-H'ers who've got hired in other counties and just seeing the growth that we, you know, the encouragement that you can give young people.
So I'm going to put you on the spot with this question because I don't know the answer to this. When did 4-H become available in Tennessee as something kids could be a part of? Do you know the year?
The official answer is 1910, but there's a few little pockets around Tennessee before it got well organized where it was kind of a youth tagging along with some of the adult programs at the time, which were farm demonstrations.
Wow. Okay. So I asked you because I knew you'd have an answer. So you're the expert. So you grew up in 4-H. You obviously had parents, as you just said, that supported the fact that you want to be involved. When did you realize as individuals, as professionals, or even students that you wanted to have a career in 4-H?
That's a good question. Because initially, when I got to high school and thought about future planning, it was more to be in the science field. Kind of nerdy by nature, I guess you could say, and was just looking at things that more science, more lab work, and really kind of to put it out there was first things I looked at was not extension. It was actually the natural resources, soil conservation, kind of the science, you know, that kind of side of agriculture. And kind of on a whim from my 4-H agent encouraged me to apply. I'd been an intern. I had worked at 4-H camp and then, you know, throughout college kind of had that twist that said, why don't you apply for these jobs that are coming up, see what happens, and the rest is kind of history, as they say.
So I want to get to your that, too, but I'll say this. One regret I have in high school and in school period was not being more involved in 4-H and FFA because there's so much to learn there. There's so as a kid, you get so much knowledge by being a part of those. And I see it now with people I know, with talking to you at Extension. Mm-hmm. There's so much to learn. And when I was a kid, all I could think about was trying to get through school and sports, you know, and 4-H and FFA really never was a priority to me, mm-hmm. but I wish it would have been. I wish it's something I would have chosen to do. And not done away with sports because I love sports. I enjoyed my time at Upperman playing football and being with my friends. But there's room for both. There's room to do both. And so, Trent, what about you? When did you realize you wanted a career in this?
I think I really realized, and I think we said that earlier, talking about the heat. My dad, I grew up working construction with him during the summers, and I really wanted to do that, I thought, when I got out of school. But then I realized that's a really hard job as well. So, when I went to college, I still was helping Melissa and Wayne and my mom with horse judging and some things like that and saw what they were doing and started talking more about what they do. And that helped me realize that I could help kids get some of those same experiences, going on trips, winning scholarships, meeting new people from across the state. And even at State 4-H Roundup in high school, I got to meet some kids that did 4-H in Japan. So getting to teach kids those life skills and communication and leadership and give them experiences and was a great opportunity. That's why I originally wanted to do that and to share some of those same experiences.
So for a local student in Putnam County, let's say, because that's where you work, and they're involved with you at 4-H now and they love it, and they want to go to Tennessee Tech or they want to go to Ball State, what kind of major or classes should they pursue if they wanted a career in 4-H?
It's pretty wide open now. At one time, there was a requirement. It had to have been an agriculture degree or human ecology, home economics type degree. They still strongly encourage that just because of the base of knowledge of what we do and the project areas that we have. But anything related more to education, just kind of help with that classroom management and, you know, working with the young people.
So I'm going to ask, do you have to be a farmer to be in 4-H?
I'm going to say no. I did not grow up on a farm, but we had a family garden and, you know, pet projects and things like that. But that didn't limit my exposure. I did dairy cattle judging. That's one of my favorite stories to tell. I did dairy cattle judging as 4-H'er, just so I could go to the Knoxville Fair,
right,
the TVA&I Fair up there. But it was a fun experience getting to see a different side of the 4-H projects that I didn't do.
So, and that's, I'm glad you explained that, because that's, I'm trying to get, I don't know how many kids listen, but I know their parents listen.
And their grandparents listen.
Yeah, so trying to get that exposure, because again, I wish that that's something I pursued, and it really didn't hit me how much I missed out until I became part of the Extension Committee. And Michelle was gracious enough to put me on there back in 2014 when I became a county commissioner. And I got all going to all these meetings, all the presentations you did, and all the presentations you've done since you've been in Trent. It's just like, I've missed out on so much. I do not have kids. We do not have kids. We have three dogs. So I know they can't go to 4-H. But if I have a nephew, you have two nephews, and that's something I want to encourage them, be involved. Go to these club meetings. Get with the agents and talk to them about 4-H and how it can benefit you. So, good careers so far in 4-H. Do you ever get a chance to branch out at the extension office to do anything else, or are you so covered up with 4-H?
We do branch off a little bit with 4-H. We get to do a lot of things in the classroom with the kids. We do our judging teams, shooting sports, different things outside of that. But I try to help Wayne out when I can. As you know, we have a lot of people moving in, and they always have questions about their lawn or what is this weed or what's wrong with my tree. And Wayne can only answer so many questions in one day, and usually he's overwhelmed. So we try to help out with that, me and Melissa both. And of course, Alan Galloway in our office as well, our farm management specialist, and owns a Christmas tree farm here in the county. So we try to branch out and help with some of those things as we can. I was blessed this year, an opportunity. One of my old professors at Tennessee Tech has been asking several semesters in a row. They needed some help with an animal science class there. So this last spring semester, I taught sheep production at Tennessee Tech at nights. So that was a great opportunity. On some days, I was teaching fourth grade to sixth grade in the morning and juniors and seniors in college at night. So it was pretty cool after 15 years in education to kind of see the difference in their thought processes all in one day as well, too.
So are colleges trying to expand their programs more now with agriculture and 4-H and all that stuff? Are they trying to branch out?
We have had a branching out at Knoxville, at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville, with our 4-H and FFA have a joint college group there. But we also have collegiate 4-H and FFA here at Tennessee Tech, and a lot of your universities have those clubs. So there's still an opportunity once you get out of high school and you go to college to still stay active in 4-H there in college, but also to come back and be a volunteer with us and go to camp with us as a volunteer leader and lots of other opportunities as well.
That's great information. We'll be right back just a moment with Trent Jones and Melissa Henry. Talk more about 4-H and what they've been able to do in Putnam County. This is Local Matters with Ben Rogers. We'll be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back. This is Ben Rogers, Melissa Henry, and Trent Jones from the Putnam County Extension Office with 4-H is in studio with me today, and a lot of good information so far. So we were talking about how the programs are at the collegiate level, and has that grown or has it declined over the last few years? What kind of interaction have y'all had with Tech students and with the 4-H program?
Tech's been a great partner to us here in Putnam County. We service guest speakers for many of the agriculture education courses over there, talking about what we do in extension, and we've done the career fair and talked to, you know, about what jobs are available. But probably the biggest partnership we have is hosting Tech students in our office for either just observation days or actually spending the semester with us, and that's helped recruit a lot of employees for extension. But I hate to say it, it's also helped shy a few away who aren't quite ready for the responsibilities that come with a full-time extension job, especially with the role that we play in the school system and with the county fair and different things. It's not for everybody, but we like to give people a taste of that as they come into our office.
Sure. Yeah, y'all do a good job of that. And so it's an educational process. When you're thinking about a career, when you're interacting with those Tech students, they can decide basically, do they want a career in this or maybe they need to go another route. So they're not guessing. right? I mean, that's a good way to look at it. Let me ask you about how COVID has affected you all. I know we're into this pandemic a year and a half. I know Extension, UT first off, and then it went down to the Institute of Agriculture and now Extension. They were real strict about not opening offices back up. You had to, if you needed them, you called, and they may let you in one person at a time. And there might be one person in the office, and they would help. But how did you two have to adjust last year starting with school and this year, we're now back in school, with the programs you're delivering?
Well, last year at the start of the school, the first adjustment, we sit down and talked with Mr. King. He said, can we please wait until after fall break, which was a good decision. We kind of saw that. And much like my family, my kids were the first part of before fall break, doing it remotely, and then went back into schools. So we had a lot of kids join back then. And we did actually meet some clubs remotely. So some of those we met via Zoom. Actually, our public speaking contest this year kept getting canceled, and we tried to schedule it, and we had it set up to where we could meet in person, one kid at a time doing their speeches, but then we kept getting snowed out and iced out. So we ended up doing our county public speaking on Zoom, which ended up working out really well. So the kids were very prepared by January to know how to do everything on Zoom and online. So we adjusted some of those traditional things we do. We had a lot of our judging events this last year, like horse judging, family consumer science skill-a-thon, and consumer decision-making last year in 2020. And a lot of those contests were online. So not the best opportunity for our kids, but a great opportunity to still get to do that contest and still move on.
So be honest with me. How hard did it make it on YouTube to try to get everything coordinated online?
It was pretty difficult. Luckily, we're both pretty up, I think, on technology. We try to stay with what's going on. I mean, through Zoom, through Teams, through a lot of different platforms. And the kids are up on that. So it kind of was a good connection for some of those things to still be involved. But there is so much that we do that is hands-on to where you really need to be in person to get the message across. And the kids get to, you know, there's visual learners, but there's also those tactile learners have to touch it, you know, smell it, all of those things. And so we just missed a lot of that hands-on opportunities for our youth. So we were glad when the spring came and things were opening back up for us. Our events were coming back to being in person, getting to go to camp again, just those things that we had missed. And just a lot of the kids, we joke about it, a few kids have said they've missed the smell of the extension office, whatever that means. But but just being back around us, you know, and it just... You know, they bring a life to our program. You know, we feed off of each other,
sure.
You know, as coworkers and as working with our clientele, that, you know, we feed off that energy face-to-face, and we just missed a lot of that.
So you did have camp.
We had a day camp.
A day camp. Where was that held at?
We did get to go to Crossville, the Clyde York Center there that we've been going to since the 60s in this area. So we were allowed to have a day camp there. A few kids went to electric camp, more of a energy and STEM camp, a culinary cooking camp, but all those were changed to day camps. No overnight trips for the kids, you know, up until really about a month ago or so, Trent, wasn't it, before we got to go back to having, you know, overnight trips with the kids.
So what do you, I mean, we can't predict the future, and I'm not asking you to. We're not doctors. If y'all are, I don't know it. Do you foresee maybe next year's camp being like it used to be, or do you –
I believe that we have all hopes that that's going to be the case. And that's our state program leader for 4-H has made all promises that that's what we're going to do. And I believe that they probably would have done more overnight camps had they seen that happen. Because I went to probably the first state 4-H event we had overnight in 2 years was state 4-H roundup a couple of weeks ago. And it was really nice to be back, and the kids were so appreciative. I think that's the most behaved I've seen high school kids ever, because they were just appreciative of the opportunity to be able to do something finally, you know.
That's good. Have you seen participation decline or increase since the pandemic?
We've been really lucky. I think our participation has kind of stayed relatively close, you know, to what we had before. Some areas decline just because certain things you just can't do in person. But a lot of our events, like, you know, Roundup, Trent just came to, Congress, where our kids go to Nashville and do a mock government. We had 7 kids in attendance. So getting 7 high school kids, you know, this time of year is big. So I think a lot of those things, but we tend to put more activities out there, I think. You know, some counties kind of shied away from some of the involvement, and we tried to maintain as much as we could.
So let's talk about the kids, because that's why y'all do this. Let's, you know, you're not going to be a millionaire being a 4-H agent at Extension
Office. I tell people all the time, I'm never going to be rich or famous, but I've had a lot of great experiences.
That's right. So let's talk about the kids. What programs do you see them go to the most in 4-H?
We here in Putnam County, we have a lot of participation in our judging teams, and we've been really strong with those. And Melissa can talk about those a little bit here in a minute, maybe. But also 4-H camp, we offer shooting sports here in the county, archery. We've added BB and air rifle this year, so we have a lot of kids there. Our largest number of kids we see is at our 4-H clubs in the school in fourth and sixth grade. So we're in 15 schools. We'll be in 3 private schools this year, and then of course our homeschool group with about 2,500 kids. Wow. So I like to tell people we have 2,500 kids that we're in charge of. So if you see me at Walmart, there's a lot of hay buds because I can't remember every single one of them. And of course, some kids you will always remember, usually because they're acting out and having a good time, though.
Right. So 2,500 kids between the two of you?
Right.
Wow.
And that doesn't even make a dent. You know, our school system is so large here. We're doing the best we can. And a lot of those, you know, they come from some different areas, but we're trying to reach as many youth as we can with agriculture, home economics, you know, STEM programming, communications, just to give them a little bit a different feel than what they get just from their traditional education.
Communications, right quick, the speech contest. We've had some big-time winners come through. Y'all have coached some big-time winners. Can you talk about that right quick?
We've had several over the years, and that's something that I did as a kid and wasn't very good at it, but... And I know Trent participated as well, and he was probably a little bit better than I was. He has that nice voice for this.
I was pushed by my mother to do those.
Right.
But we've had
thankful for that opportunity now.
A lot of youth over the years who've, you know, of course, our county contest has been quite large, you know, over 100 kids every year on average, because they have to win from their classroom to come up. But a lot of our upper junior high kids, 7th and 8th grade, our high school kids have gone on to sub-regional, regional levels. We just had one 4-H'er who competed at the state level this past week, finished third in a close contest, and we've had a few go on to participate at the national competition, even one in the national, two in the national horse public speaking contest, which is a little bit different topic there. But, yeah, that's one of the best skills that we teach our kids is getting up and presenting in front of others.
That's great. I got some more questions coming for you. Appreciate your time so far. We'll be back in just a moment. Local Matters. This has been Rogers with Trent Jones and Melissa Henry from the Extension Office here in Putnam County. Welcome back. I am visiting with Melissa Henry and Trent Jones from the Putnam County Extension Office, and they are 4-H agents here in Putnam County. They work with 2,500 kids. They're working in all 15 schools and 3 private schools and homeschool kids. So they are out in front of the kids, and we're so thankful for them and everything they're doing for us. I had a chance to be on the Ag Extension Committee for 6 years, and we do, and I don't know why, but we call it Ag Extension Committee at Putnam County. I know it's Extension Committee. I know that's what the office is called, but we call it Ag Extension Committee at Putnam County. So just a little tidbit for y'all. I didn't know if you knew that, but I was on it 6 years and got to learn a lot. We did have a national winner in speech, or we've had two come through 4-H. That's just communications is just one program 4-H does. We've talked about some other ones, but what newer programs have we not discussed that's out there for kids?
Well, one of our newest activities that's part of our program is our FCS Skillathon, which is Family and Consumer Sciences, and we've just been 4 years into it so far. It was something that kind of got started in our state, you know, after seeing some national participation from other states. And the kids go through and they learn sewing and fabrics, you know, those kind of equipments, cooking, kitchen utensils. We study spices, home interior, housing kind of things. They do foods and nutrition judging. And there's also a team component where they have to work together to solve a problem. And it's been really kind of practical. A lot of the kids are like, oh, yeah, I kind of get this because I help my mom cook or my grandma cook. And I know some of the utensils. And we have to talk about common names versus what they're actually called because we all have different versions of what we call a spatula, apparently. But our team did really – our senior high team did really well. Those kids have been working for 4 years to get to the point, and they've just got named state champions. And so that means we get to raise a little money here the next few months and hopefully get a trip to Denver in January. Hopefully it doesn't snow us out or COVID us out at this point.
Right.
But that's what they're working towards now is studying and preparing for that national contest. And that's something that, you know, Trent and I both agree that we're quite competitive, but it's all about making the, you know, having the kids an opportunity to learn new skills, new knowledge, expose them to careers. We've in the past, we've worked with Tennessee Tech and their human ecology department on this contest, and just exposes those kids to college level topics.
How has the 4-H program changed over the years? You talk about something new, but how has it changed? Like you said, you've been doing it 23 years. You're in 14. What have y'all seen the changes be like?
There's been a lot of changes on my point. I feel, I think back to when I was in fourth grade, my 4-H agent, Bill Adcock, come in and said, today we're going to elect officers and all this. And I was lucky enough to be the club president. I was super excited. And we've seen that some change, what I call traditional 4-H clubs over the years. So here in Putnam County, pretty much all of our clubs, we don't have any officers. We can't offer that if a teacher wants it. And we've turned more of a focus to meeting their standards. There's so much pressure on our teachers, rightly so, to help with the kids achieve well on their tests at the end of the year. And so we try to tie our lessons into their standards in the classroom. So that's something that I can't take credit for. I came in, and Melissa and Wayne already had that set up, and Melissa's done a great job with those lessons, and that's something that's enabled me. Even I was copying when I was in Marshall and Smith County from her and started transitioning that in those counties. So I think a lot of counties have seen that transition to more of doing some STEM and science lessons, but still offering those communication, those life skills that help those kids later on in life, like the speech contest, demonstration, even our photography and poster. And some counties still doing the bread baking as well.
So what are the biggest challenges right now for 4-H, you think?
Probably just, getting back going full speed after the COVID break. Yeah. Making sure people know we're still here. We've still got activities and we're, trying to still offer those activities. That some things may be limited, but that's a big challenge, is getting everybody back full steam and getting back and, helping those kids find their place in the program again that had to kind of sit out for the past year.
Yeah. If a kid, again, don't have many kids listen, but their parents and grandparents, if they want to be involved with 4-H, what do they need to do? Who do they need to contact if they want to make it part of their curriculum all the way through school? What do they need to do?
Just feel free to contact us at our office. You can email me, Trent Jones, at jtjones@utk.edu. Call our office at 526-4561.
Okay.
Also, go to Facebook, Putnam County 4-H Tennessee, and you can see the pictures. We try to keep pictures and highlights of what our team's doing, what we're offering as we're doing that.
Yeah, it's a lot of good stuff. So let's talk about something kind of sad, kind of John Anderson song, kind of it's happy day, but kind of sad. Melissa, as her career is changing, but it's still staying with the extension part. She's currently now, as you know, the 4-H agent, one of them in Putnam County. But your career is changing, Melissa. What is your career changing to?
It's going to be a good challenge, Ben, but it's going to be a tough transition to leave such a great program here in Putnam County and working with Michelle and the other people in the office. But like I tell the kids, when an opportunity comes along, you have to kind of take a chance at it and see what happens. And so after a rigorous interview process, I will be accepting the job as the Central Region 4-H Specialist. So I'm expanding my 4-H knowledge out to 31 counties that are in Middle Tennessee. And so I'll conduct the 4-H events and activities at that level. But more of the job is being a resource mentor to our 4-H agent staff across the region, helping with in-services and helping our new staff get onboarded with what the job is actually like. So there's going to be a lot of mentoring going on, county visits. And I'll still be around as a resource for Putnam County, of course. And I'm sure Michelle will want me to help with the Putnam County Fair as a judge or something like that to still be involved in this community. But it's going to be an interesting challenge for me. It's just something that I didn't go exactly seeking to get a different job. But like I tell the kids, when an opportunity comes through, you kind of have to take it and, and run with it.
So does that make you Trent's boss now?
It does not. Luckily, in the extension world, I would not be a boss. I'd still be more of a peer mentor to him, in that kind of role and resource person. Michelle's lucky that she tries to be the boss of all of us, but sometimes it just doesn't, she can't control all of us and what we do. But
well, so obviously when you apply for this position, you have in your mind some thoughts, processes, some plans. Can you talk about anything, any plans you may see for that position that you want to bring to the table?
Well, it's one of those things. The first few months is just learning the new job, the transition period of how things work at the next level. We both served on regional committees and events, and it's different when you're the person in charge and conducting everything. But there's some things, towards the communication side of it, with public speaking and just different opportunities for our youth, and just maybe some of the structure of the way we deliver the programs are going to be some of the things I know our regional staff is looking forward to updating and freshening a lot of those activities. And, you know, just you got to keep your – sometimes you have to reinvent yourself every so often.
So we know we have two 4-H agents here. Probably, and I'll say it on the radio, we probably need another one based on the 2,500 kids that
we
y'all
do.
Are working with. So, but you have 31 counties, you said. How many roughly 4-H agents is that?
Oh, let's see. They've just hired several more in some positions. I would say, would you say 50 is probably a close amount?
I guess 40 to 50.
40 to, yeah, probably hired closer to 50 at this point.
Some smaller counties just have one 4-H agent.
But some counties also have program assistants, and they're involved at that level as well. And, of course, the adult agents help out with events such as livestock shows and judging teams. So you're still really dealing with a whole staff, you know, on some of these events with 4-H. But, yeah, so going from a bunch of kids to a bunch of adults that may still act like kids, it's not going to be much of a transition.
That's what I was going to say. You took the words out of my mouth. I asked Michelle if she wanted to pop in today to say something to you. She couldn't make it. But based on my conversation with her, she's been lucky and blessed to have you. I know she appreciates all the work you've done. You've been a rock for her since she's been in. And I'm thankful for you. As a county commissioner, I'm thankful for you because you're out here educating kids and helping them branch out to whatever it is they want to do regarding 4-H. And that means helping them stand in front of people and talking to people and interacting, because we know kids these days don't always have the best communication skills because of technology. And so having both of you around to help with that's great. But I can tell you, we're going to miss you in Cookeville. Your office will be where? Nashville?
I'll be based out of Nashville, yes.
Are you moving?
Not right now. We're going to see how the commute goes first. Just as I like where I live, I like the area here in Putnam County, and I really just hate to leave people here. But we'll see how the commute goes at first. I can't promise anything.
Well, I got to ask you, we got some time left. What's one of your favorite stories, one of your favorite moments from your 23 years? And I'm putting you on the spot because I didn't tell you I was going to do this because usually when you don't plan it, it comes straight from the heart. So what's something that comes to your mind of one of your favorite kids or stories or moments that you've been a 4-H agent?
There's several. I mean, any of my project winners where the kids have worked on like a portfolio of their project experiences, their resumes, interviews, kids overcoming their fear of like oral reasons with judging teams and, you know, crying at the first practice and then end up being the top scoring individual. You know, those kind of stories like that. Kids who come up through the camp program and decide they love it so much they want to be team leaders and come back to camp. And some have even gone on to work at camp, you know, and I'm blessed to have several agents who work with us in the Upper Cumberland area who were 4-H'ers here. And so just to see them grow and develop their own programs over the years, and just like when Trent was in Smith County and getting to see him close and the success he's had and then moving here, you know, those kind of things really just stand out to you.
Trent, do you have a story you can share about Melissa?
Oh, I don't know about on the radio. No, I'm very thankful that I got a chance to work with Melissa. And, you know, I hate to lose my mentor and my 4-H boss here in the county. I say, you know, I call her my 4-H boss, but I always do run things by her, and I always still will. And that there's nobody better qualified to be our Central Region 4-H specialist. I know that. So.
Well, congratulations to you.
Well, thank you, Ben.
I'm happy for you. You deserve it. I wish I was still on the committee. You can only serve 6 years on the extension committee as a commissioner, and so I'm in my first year off. Maybe I can get back on, but I still look forward to working with you.
So we appreciate all the support you've given us over the years. We're always glad to work with our commissioners and both elected public officials and other public officials and like our county fair staff and everything as well.
So. Well, and I appreciate that. And I promise you both, I don't know how successful I'll be, but we're growing so much in Putnam County. I hope that we can get the office some help and get you some help as the central region director over 4-H. It'll help you with having more people. So I promise you I'll do my part. I don't know what the results will be, but I will try. I'm just so thankful for people like you and thankful for our extension office that not only helping kids, but our farmers out there and everything else. You mentioned Wayne earlier. I couldn't have him on because he talked the whole time.
This is true.
And Wayne, if you're listening, you know that. But no, we love you, Wayne, too. I am going to have him on sometime because he does great work. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate your time. Good luck to you. I'll see you soon. Trent, if you need anything, holler at me. But thank you all for being here, folks. Hope you had a great week. Hope you have an even better weekend. And just enjoy your time. Remember, be kind to one another. We're going through some hard times. Just smile at one another and be nice, and we'll get through this. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Ben.